to truly believe in the magic.
Hey, Magic fans, and welcome to the Let's Talk Magic podcast. Today, we are going to be joined by the one and only George Gallant, and we are going to be talking about all things magic, including where we actually feel we are this season. And, you know, it's been a bit doom and gloom recently, so let's have a bit of a talk about that in a while. But first of all, I'm joined by the intrepid twosome. If from the Welsh Valleys, Mr. Jones, how are you, my friend?
I'm all right, mate. I'm all right. Obviously, we've all had the same sort of day, haven't we? Obviously, having watched that performance against the Milwaukee Bucks. But, you know, onwards and upwards, things can only get better. So I'm good, though. Thank you, mate. How yourself? Good,
yeah, really well, thank you. Yeah, really well. It's been testing times as a Magic fan. It's been a bit frustrating, hasn't it?
Leeds. You're going through it all, mate.
Oh, could not believe it. But I mean, that takes me to the sunny north and Sunderland. the deserved the point, mate, against us easily.
I thought so, but it was two penalties, mate.
Absolutely. We did. Absolutely. We were talking during the game and I mean, one was a Maradona-esque handball, and the other one was—I could see how it got missed, but it was clear.
It was when Luke O'Neill did that.
Oh man!
I did tell you.
Bit of a Mo Wagner moment.
Yeah, I said you're more Wagner anyone.
But how you doing, Paul? You all right, Gary?
Yeah. Apart from my angry switch off of the game in the third quarter, where I just went, I'm not watching this, and turned it off. All good, mate.
I think we all kind of had a similar thing. I got midway through the third, looked at my missus, went, we're not coming back from this, even if we put a bit of a run on. I left it running, went in the shower, came back out with 2 minutes left to see if there'd been a miracle. Went and switched it off at that. I didn't watch the final quarter at all. Awful.
I kept it on because I was waiting for the ticker to go past to make sure the Miami Heat lost. And they did. So that was a small victory.
It was, mate. But we're gonna talk about this at the end of the pod. That's gonna be the after the guest. But I think we should get George on and start upbeat. So let's get George on. And we are joined by our very special guest, one half of the much-missed Magic Overtime with Dante and Galante, the co-host of the team's official podcast, The Pod Squad, and since July 2023 now, Vice President of Communications and Alumni Relations. George, how are you, my friend? So good to have you back.
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We are all really good, mate. Right. We are, as you know, like all Magic fans, we're a little bit nervous at this moment in time. But hey, we'll see where things go.
Keep the faith. Everything will be fine. Like a one way or another. Listen, we could be in worse spots. We could be ninth. We could be 10th. We could be 12th.
So we could already be in the lottery, mate.
That's true. Listen, so this is all important. Everybody has to kind of keep perspective long-term of where we are. I think, you know, we're still a very young team that is learning to deal with some success. And with that is going to come, you know, maybe some potholes along the way to get to where we want to go. So hopefully we can figure it out here soon. We only have two games to right the ship. And then listen, come at the end of 82, we'll see where we are. We could be anywhere from 3 to 8. So it'll be very, very exciting. And I think you guys would all have signed up for that. If I told you in October, come game 82, we can be anywhere from 3 to 8. I think everybody would sign off for that.
I think from a personal point of view, this is the most winning season I've had in my fandom. So, hey, that's already something I haven't experienced as far as the number of wins in a season. We've never been this competitive in a season since I've been a fan. So, yeah, there's got to be some perspective. This time last season, we were already eliminated from any contention for the postseason. So it's progress. But, yeah, it's got a bit nervous, I've got to say. It's got a bit nervous, mate. But, George, first of all, mate, I know we're going to talk about various things, but I do want to ask you, what's been your personal highlights this year, celebrating the 35th?
Oh, gosh. I mean, there's been so many. Like you said, Paul, like we all, even in the office, are just excited to have, you know, to come to the arena and have a chance every night, you know, to know that we're going to have a chance to win every night has been really exciting to watch these guys come together the way that they have, to watch the growth of this team, the way that they've kind of come from October to now has been fantastic. The 9-game winning streak obviously was a lot of fun. I mean, that was a great time. It was a really good way to kind of get off to start the season here. And then just all the, we've like you kind of touched on, we've started alumni relations here at the Magic officially. I mean, we've been working on it, Dante Marcatelli and myself, behind the scenes for a few years now, and it's kind of just started to become official now. So having a lot of the old guys, I don't want to call them old guys because I'm an old guy now, but like having all these guys come back through the halls at the Kia Center and be recognized. And we've had, I mean, gosh, so many. I think we had, Dante and I counted it up. I think we had 13 or 14. And this is not including Shaquille O'Neal's night, which I know we'll probably get into too. But, you know, Rashard Lewis and Hedo Turkoglu and Tracy McGrady, JJ Redick, Carlos Arroyo. Got all kinds of guys that we have kept in touch with and gotten to have them come back and be honored. It's really been a lot of fun, especially for Dante and myself, because we're, you know, there's not a lot of old heads left anymore at One Magic Place. And we are definitely two of them at this point. So to have some of these guys come back through and be recognized, have a night to, you know, to say, hey, thank you for what you've done for the Orlando Magic. And to have a good season on top of it has been a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
I mean, Marcy looked like he could have still given us 20 minutes out there. That boy is
I asked him, rich. I said, can we get, the funny thing is you talk to a lot of those guys and they all for like, you know, oh, I could give you 10 minutes. I could give you, you know, they probably can't, but, But Marsh and Gortat definitely looked like he could come in and at least give us a couple of fouls, like a nice hard fouls too, which would probably help us out for sure.
Love it.
That's brilliant, Judge. First, it was great to see you in February when it was over. Obviously, you had a lot of dealing with the Shaq jersey ceremony. So could you just tell us a little bit more about the planning, getting the gang together, as you've just alluded to there? And how good was it to see all of your, you know, ex-colleagues, some of the old guys, like you say?
Yeah, it was. That was a night that really it was a few years in the making, to be honest. I mean, we have been... I'm a member of the Hall of Fame committee at the Magic, and we have to make a formal recommendation and presentation on who gets put into the Magic Hall of Fame. And we've been calling for a couple of years, honestly, now for Shaq to have his jersey retired. In regards to retiring guys' jerseys, we felt like, and I don't know who you've talked to about this already, you might have talked to Alex or David or Jeff or Dante. We felt like it was a no-brainer that if we're going to retire anyone's jersey first, that it had to be Shaquille O'Neal. I mean, that guy, he put us on the map. He is the reason that anybody anywhere wanted to watch Orlando Magic basketball for, you know, in the infant stages of the franchise. He took the franchise from a level, you know, at the bottom to the top, like a rocket ship. And so there's so many reasons that Shaquille O'Neal needed to be the first one to have his jersey retired. And so luckily, you know, after many discussions, and I think it was good timing too with the 35th anniversary of the team. Hey, why not? Like, let's start it now. Let's get it done. And then so basically we were tasked with inviting literally everybody back that played with Shaq. Like, we went down the roster. Anybody that played with Shaq, we were going to invite back to have a reception before the game, which was really, really cool because a lot of these guys had not seen each other in years. A lot of Shaq's old teammates came back. Donald Royal, obviously Penny Hardaway was back. Nick was obviously here because Nick is around all the time. You know, there was a couple guys that we couldn't you know, we really tried to get Horace Grant to come back, and just things didn't work out because he had some certain things going on with his own life. But it was a great turnout. It was really cool just to see, you know, we kind of just took a step back in the reception. You know, there was a private reception for them before the game started and before anything got going on the court, with all the guys and their families and whatever else, and guys meeting other teammates' kids and their kids meeting. So it just was a really cool experience to watch all of them interact and get back together for the first time, some of them in 20 years. And then the ceremony itself, like, it was it a little long, probably, you know, but like we it's our first one. Right. And I thought for our first go round to it, I thought it was really, really well done. Our marketing and game operations people, Shelley Wilkes and Jeff Kramer and those guys really knocked it out of the park. I thought the night was really special. I thought Shaq really felt humbled and honored by the whole thing, which is pretty hard to do for Shaq. So it just was a really, really cool experience that, listen, like he had to be first. He had to be the first because it's Shaq. I think I said it on our podcast one time that the answer to so many questions are, if the answer is because it's Shaq, then like that there's no other explanation needed. I mean, the guy is off the stratosphere popular and really led to the popularity of the franchise. And so it's only fitting that he's the first guy to go in my opinion. I know people have their own opinions about other people, but that's mine.
I completely agree with everything you just said there, George. Totally.
That's why you're my favorite, by the way. That's why
I'll send you that money. I'll send you that money off air. I'll send you that.
Thanks,
money
buddy. Yeah, thank you. Obviously, I'll take it in euros too, because I send it over in euros. I need it in euros.
Any currency does to me, George. Obviously, the last few games have been a bit touchy, but over the course of the season, it's been a successful one for the Magic. There have been a lot of positives, but how the city embraced the team overall, what's the mood?
It's really, I mean, now you're catching us, obviously, when we've lost two or three in a row here. And, are you asking me what the mood today is? It's not great. But overall for the season, it's been electric. It's really been great. The crowds have been excellent. Even the games where typically, you know, hey, you know, when we've played the Knicks the last few years, you know, is it Madison Square Garden South? Maybe a little bit. And when we play, but this year it's just been different. Like we've had more Magic fans come through. We've had more real Magic fans come through, which is nice. Loud Magic fans, and the city is, you can tell, like there was a little apprehension at first, I think, because obviously it's a long season and you want to see how this all plays out. And, you know, have we gotten off to good starts before, and maybe, you know, as the season's gone the other way. Yes. So I think everybody was kind of in a feeling out period a little bit. And then you started to realize, well, hey, like these guys are pretty good. Like, and we're beating some good teams. We're beating Denver, we're beating Boston, we're beating the Knicks three times. This is not a fluke. And so as the season has gone on, it's definitely picked up more and more steam to the point where, yeah, like, listen, if it wasn't this way, I don't think fans would feel so negative right now in the fact that, oh my gosh, we could be in the play-in tournament and not in the playoffs. Like it's just, I think that's where Magic fans have been caught up in what this season has been, and it's been so exciting. I mean, to the point where, like, holy crap, we could be the 2 seed as of last week. And who would have ever thought that? It's so, like, they're really starting to buy in. They're really starting to believe in what we're doing. And it's been a lot of fun, and the guys feel it. Like there's been a couple of times where I've brought players back into the press conference after the game, after wins, and somebody will turn to me, you know, whether it's Paolo or Jalen Suggs or even Cole, guys that have been here, you know, 2, 3, 4 years. And they're like, wow, like I didn't know this place could get that loud. Like we've been here before, we've had decent crowds, but like it's a different vibe in the building now. And it's a lot of fun. It beats the alternative, that's for sure.
Definitely. Yeah. Talking of knocking it out of the park, and the Magic social media have been slamming it home all season, and especially play the song. It's become a league sensation. It's an internet phenomenon. Players and fans are embracing it. And even some of our opponents have been talking about it. Where did it come from, and what was the process of getting it there?
Well, I mean, at the beginning of, or at the end of last year, we started to, I mean, that song originates back from the inaugural yeah. season of the team. We had the song that, you know, I don't even know what the official name of the song is. I think it's just the Orlando Magic theme song. It probably does have a theme that I probably should know and be a little more.
I've got the CD somewhere.
Do you? I'm sure you do. Yeah. Right. So, you know, so
it's a banger.
Right. And so like, the funny thing is I've showed my kids the original video, like, cause you can find it on YouTube from opening night where the first time it's played, and it's really like, it's so bad, it's good, like type of feeling after you get after it. And so we started to play that, play the song, at the end of last year after wins. We just started to play it cause somebody thought, I think one of the fans called for it. And said, oh, you know what? It might have been Mikey Clark. Not Mikey Clark. You're Mikey Clark. Oh, jeez, who was it?
No, Mikey's
you know what I mean. Yeah, but like, oh gosh, I can't. Kevin Clark, I think, was the one.
Kevin was it.
And said, you know, if this gets 1,000 retweets or whatever, the Magic should play the song afterwards, right? And it got 5,000 retweets or whatever it was. And so, like, you know, and that kind of, and so that's kind of where it started to pick up a little steam at the end of last year. What was that? And then going into this year, we fully embraced it because, like, you know, with it being the 35th anniversary of the team, we wanted to harken back to 89 and the start of the franchise and things that were popular. And we were bringing back the classic jerseys from the TMAC era, which is 20 something years ago. And so you had all these things that were factoring into the 35th anniversary, and they teamed with a producer's name is AO. He's won several Grammys. He's a local, he's an Orlando guy. And they went to him and said, like, can you remix the song? And they remixed the song. And then they just start, you know, social media. We're not in charge of social media. Like, the social media department is a life on its own under our marketing arm. And Owen Fasolis and Owen Sanborn and all those guys do a really, really good job of creating things that get the fans into it and buying in, and always kind of swipe, you know, refreshing their screens to see what's coming next or whatever else. So that's definitely something I do get a kick out of, the fact that it pops up on other players, you know, feeds when they're on there and mm-hmm. you know, they're commenting about it, like, well, God, we didn't want to hear the song tonight. So yeah, like it's definitely done its job. It's been very cool to see the rebirth, if you will, of a really bad song, right? But it's so bad, it's good. Like, you can't stop singing it. You can't. I find myself humming it in the car.
It.
Yeah,
we love hearing it.
That means we win.
Got that big W.
You mean if we're hearing it, it means we won.
We do want to offer that we will record some moves to be broadcast out one night. You know, we will do that.
Has George seen our efforts? It wasn't very good.
I have not. No. Are you going to sit on a show right now? What's happening?
What's My flossing is something to behold, man.
I gotcha. Yeah.
I've just pulled it up. It is called just Orlando Magic theme song by Gettings Productions. So
yeah. Yeah. So there you go.
There we go. Taking you back to last week, you had Joe Ingles on the pod squad, which was a really, really good listen. So just wanted to talk to you about having Joe Ingles around, you know, someone who's really quite funny and dry. From the outside looking in, you know, having that personality that likes to talk, be it, you know, jawing at the opponent, officials, giving advice to the members of the team, such a solid pickup. So can you just speak about Joe, George?
Yeah, Joe has been the vet that we've been missing for a good few years now. Like, just somebody that can come in, even from day one, the guys all really, you could see it in training camp when a practice would start and something would happen and Joe would like literally start talking and you had 15 heads move to watch what he was doing or pay attention to what he was saying. And he had not been there for that long. He'd only been there, you know, about a week or so. And you're just like, wow, like this guy has really got their attention to what we're trying to do. And he still can contribute. Like, is he going to score 20 points in a game? No, like he's not going to do that. But he also knows his role really well. He provides things that we don't necessarily, you know, his strengths are not necessarily the team's strengths. I mean, he's still our best 3-point shooter, probably at 42-43% at age 36. He can beat you with pick and roll to death. I mean, him and Mo Wagner have this just unbelievable connection where Mo knows where the ball is going to be and Joe will put the ball where Mo thinks it's going to be. I mean, so many times during the game, they've just established this connection, the two of them. And he's great in locker room. Like this guy is just such a calming presence to everything. And super funny, like just really, really dry. Doesn't give a crap about a lot of, you know what I mean? Like he doesn't really? Give a crap what a about shocker. Popular. Yeah, shocker. I know. He just so like everybody loves the guy. I mean, he's such a good guy. Again, I can't say it enough. Like a really good guy to have around you with a team as young as ours and with what we're trying to do and the way that our roster is constructed. He has been the perfect veteran for us to kind of hold everything together, to kind of keep everybody in check and to be a sounding board for these young guys that, I mean, let's face it, like half of these guys on our roster are 22, 23, 24 years old. And so Joe's really provided a lot.
He's definitely a character. You can get that through the TV. George, for sure. comes through in the UK. And something perhaps you could tell us a little bit more in the UK, like off the court, we've seen Markelle Fultz, Cole Anthony, Wendell Carter Jr. getting particular praise for what they're doing off the court. So can you tell us in the UK perhaps a little bit more on what we don't see and how active and committed these guys are in the Orlando area?
Sure. I mean, and it's not even in the Orlando area. These guys are like, you know, not even in their hometowns. They're doing a lot off the court, whether it's charity events, whether it's donations, whether it's just getting behind certain camps or whatever. They're really, really involved in the community. The one thing I love about this group, and it's very rare, like I don't really recall it in my earlier days being this way, but let me just give an example. Like Cole Anthony had a bowling event for one of his charities the other couple weekends ago, and every one of his teammates was there. Everyone. And Coach Mosley hits all. If Wendell Carter Jr. is doing a turkey giveaway for Thanksgiving, Coach Mosley is there, and three of his teammates are there. And then if Markelle Fultz is doing something for kids, six of his teammates are there and Coach Mosley's there. I mean, it's really been a joy to see that these guys really take seriously in integrating themselves into the community and giving back to those that maybe don't have as much as they do, and just inserting themselves, like just jumping right into the pool into being a part of the Central Florida community. It's been awesome. It's just really a good group of guys that get it. Like they could easily just go play ball and go home, but they don't do that. They're really out and about.
I mean, that leads into what we mentioned it slightly earlier on in the conversation. I was going to ask you around the atmosphere in the locker room, how it's been for the guys, particularly with you know, challenging for the postseason and fighting as far up as looking at the second seed and fighting for home court advantage. What is it like in that locker room?
It's really upbeat. It's really positive. The one thing that I would say is that, and Coach Mosley just stresses this over and over and over again. You can't get too high and you can't get too low. So even during the 9-game winning streak, like, were we feeling ourselves a little bit? Yeah, for sure. Like everybody's walking around with their chest pumped up a little bit and their heads high. And then, but you're still not like, there's a calmness to the room too. Like that just really, the whole goal, I think, is for somebody, if they were to walk in the locker room and you wouldn't know maybe necessarily if we have won 4 in a row or lost 3 in a row, because it's such a long season and it's such a grind that especially if you go the other way, and we've been a part of that where, you know, two losses can become four and four losses can become seven, where you just completely get down in the dumps. And so he's really stressed the staying positive, putting everything in the past, like learning from stuff in the past and then moving on to the next thing. And staying pretty focused for the most part. Like have we had some slips here, maybe down the stretch? Possibly. And that's all a part of growth, right? Like,
yeah,
I think if you put this team, if this team goes through what they're going through now, right, and wherever we end up, when this airs, or I don't know if it's airing today, whatever, like when somebody tunes into this next week and we're third, or somebody tunes into this next week and we're eighth, this group is going to still learn from this experience this year, and hopefully be able to take that. And, you know, the only one that's really, well, there's two guys that have been through it for the most part is Joe Ingles and Gary Harris. The rest of this group has never been to the playoffs, not even a play-in game. So this is all new territory for these guys, and it comes with part of the process of, and the processes gets thrown around a lot. And I don't want to say that this is a process, but it really is, because it gets into the growth of these players, not only as an individual, but as a team. And so that, you know, hopefully they're going to learn from this, however this experience turns out, whether it's play in, whether it's third seed, whether it's we win the first round, whether it's we make to the conference final, like who knows where this thing's going to end up. But regardless of what that is, it's how they take their experiences this year and apply it to the 24-25 season and beyond, to when we're in this situation again, because we will be in this situation again. These guys will have a better handle on how to move forward and how to continue to succeed and move up the mountain.
You obviously,
is that the answer? I practiced that. Well, I'm just kidding. I didn't practice.
You obviously share responsibilities with Joel Glass on the road, and particular road trips. But has there been a most memorable road trip or a particular game on your travels with the team this season?
I think probably the best trip of the year. Now, record wise, it wasn't great, but things that happened on the trip, I would say our second West Coast trip of the year, where we went to Phoenix. Yeah, it was Phoenix, Golden State, Denver, or Phoenix, Golden State, Sacramento, and Denver. I think we went 1-3 on the trip. So record wise, it's not the best trip, but you know, it started off with New Year's Eve, which I got to, you know, celebrate with a couple of people on the road, and we had a good time that night or long night. And then, but then you're competing against these teams, right, that like are viewed as the best of the best, including the champs. Right. And so like you're getting to measure yourself against, which is the cream de la creme of the NBA. And Paolo turns around and Franz gets hurt, which was a bummer. But then Paolo turns around and probably has one of the best games of his career so far. He scores 43 in Sacramento in a double overtime game that was bananas. I mean, just a spectacular game. And then before that, we had a close loss to Phoenix and a close loss to Golden State. So in your head, you're like, yeah, like we can compete with these guys. Like we can't, why can't we be as good as any of these guys? And then to cap it off in the game where you just feel like, all right, it's the end of the trip, we're ready to go home, we're probably not going to get this one. And to do what we did at Denver and beat Denver a second time, and for Paolo to have his first career triple double. I mean, so to me, that was the trip of the year for me, only because it showed us who we could be, not only as a team, but it showed who Paolo Banchero was. I mean, that was really for me, the jumping off point. And you have to excuse my dog who's whining in the background and I can't get it to stop. and there she goes. And so, to have that be the kind of the jump off for both the team and for Paolo, that was probably the highlight of the road trips for me this year.
That's excellent.
Gary. I won't ask too much more, but I'll just say last game against the Bucks coming up, what you're predicting the Kia to be like on Sunday.
I can tell you what I hope it's like. I hope the roof comes off the damn place. That's what we need, our fans to come out on Sunday. If you guys want to fly on over and bring some friends, like that would be tremendous if we could get that done. So I think it's really, I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be a big night for the Magic. I think it's going to be a big night for the Magic fans. It's going to be a great way to cap off the 35th anniversary season. Hopefully we can go out with a win, and hopefully that'll, you know, we'll see what else happens over the next 2-3 days, and that'll lock us in somewhere in the playoffs, hopefully. And that's what I'm hoping for.
Amazing. We are sharing that optimism with you, my friend. We really are. But George, thank you so much. I know that you have other pressing engagements and we don't want to take up too much of your time. We genuinely appreciate it. We've had such a good time having you back on, and we look forward to seeing you again real soon, hopefully talking about the finals. Let's
the finals. You're going right.
I'm going there, man. Keep the confidence, keep the faith. That's me.
Okay. All right. Well, then I'll book me in June now. You can go ahead and book me before game one. I'll do a little finals preview with you.
Amazing.
We could do a live from the Kia Center. That's what we'll do.
That's what you want. Like, let's talk Magic live from the Kia Center before one of the five. Like, all right, book it. That we'll get that done. That's for sure.
Mr. Ross has already told us that if we get to the finals, he wants us across. He said that last week. It's on the podcast.
You have it recorded.
It's there forever.
Keep your receipts. Never know when you're going to need to turn those in.
Amazing, my friend. Thank you so much. Look after yourself.
Thanks, George.
And have a good one, man.
Okay, guys. Always good to see you.
That was amazing having George on. I've so much enjoyed that. But we're going to take a quick break and have a quick word from our sponsors, as they say. Traction Tickets, they are our partner. If you are looking for tickets and hotels for the world's best theme parks and attractions, look no further. Check out Attraction Tickets. They are the UK's number one attraction ticket provider for Walt Disney World, Universal Studios, SeaWorld, Disneyland Paris, along with many, many other popular attractions. They have a massive range of tickets available, and they also are running quite a few decent offers at the moment. They do sell Magic tickets at hugely competitive prices. So when you are looking to book your next holiday, please check out the link in the description of this podcast and see what they have to offer. You can also visit our website, letstalkmagic.com, for our affiliate links and any discount codes that we may have running at that time. So we did say we were going to talk about this. So simple question. In the week that was, fans, are we expecting too much from a team that is learning to win in a pressured atmosphere? Gary, start with yourself, mate, because I think you've been probably the most, I won't say down, but you've been, I think you and Mikey have run it a close race. You've been the most dissatisfied at the week.
I've been vocal, I would say, on our little group chat. I'm really glad that you didn't ask me this in the third quarter last night, Paul. I'm really glad this is not a live stream. I might not have aired on YouTube or anything like that. It's a yes and no question for me, and it's dependent on context. And I think context is really important. So I've calmed down a lot. I've relaxed. I've kind of stepped back from it a bit. So if you'd said in October that we're sitting in the playoffs with two games to go, we're playing meaningful games right the way up to the end. We're probably happy that we're over a 500 record. We all said on the season preview that we were thinking the Magic would get 41, 42, 43 wins. So we've exceeded that expectation. And I am keeping that in mind. I am telling myself it's a young team. It's a young coaching staff as well. Inexperience is probably playing a factor. Paul, you made the excellent analogy of Arsenal when they just got into like the crunch time. And if you're watching the football, we'll call it, because I don't do the word soccer. So if you're watching the football, last year Arsenal with an inexperienced team blew it. And I understand the whole everybody's in the same position analogy, but I think there's like a mental barrier, a mental weariness that sometimes comes in. And I think sometimes when you've got people in the locker room who's been there before, they know how to pace themselves. They know what to say. They know what's going to come. I think that's why Horace Grant, for example, was a really valuable addition to the team. And I think to an extent, Joe Ingles has been a valuable addition this year. And we don't really have that going through our team It's not like where the Miami Heat would look and go, you know what Jimmy Butler's going to do once the play-in starts. We don't really have that. So the context is important. But I think if we just sat here and said, context, inexperience, youth, I don't think that's fair. I think we're doing ourselves a bit of a disservice, because after that Charlotte game, I said, I really, really, really hope, and it was in our little chat, but I really hope that we haven't blown that, because I felt that was the game. I thought that was the game to win. If you're going to win a game, you win Charlotte. Portland's a red flag. I don't buy the view that Houston was a gimme, because it's not. I think Houston are a good team. I think if they'd had a better start to the season, they would have made the play-in. They just had a poor start. They're a bit like us last season. They're defensively very good, and they've got some good players, and they're playing arguably without their best player. So I think the Houston one wasn't a gimme, but I think the Charlotte one was about as close to a gimme as you could get. And if you said to us, in terms of context, the Magic have to beat Charlotte, who are a lottery team with nothing to play for, without LaMelo Ball, to secure the playoffs, you'd have took that, and we were nowhere near. We were nowhere near. In those games, the energy, and I'll put Milwaukee in this, just wasn't there. We're starting games flat. We're going behind, and then we never look like we're going to come back. And for a team that's built its identity on defense, we've been destroyed by Van Vliet on the perimeter. We've been torched by Brandon Miller on the perimeter. We saw Bobby Portis taking us out on the perimeter at times last night and dropping over 30. And that's without Giannis. And that's without Middleton. And we've just not looked likely. The defensive, something's gone. I know Jonathan Isaac's probably not fit. Turnovers at one point last night against Milwaukee, we just did them over and over again. Silly ones. We got into this again with this Jack and threes when it isn't... I like Caleb Houston as a player, but we were just, he's another three. And it's not, you're sitting there, you're like, it isn't going to go in. You know, from the second of the release, you're like, that's not going in. And it's just, I think if you'd said October, you'd be happy. But in the context of the last couple of weeks, I think everything that good, and there's been so much good that's happened this season, a lot of it, like it's been over a season, it's been a good season. And I'm trying to keep that in my mind, but it will be really, really, really sad if we fall out of the beyond, if we drop below six in the last two games. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's an 82-game season and you end up where you're meant to be at the end of 82 games. But if we fall out on game 81, that's going to be pretty hard to take. So that's where I'm at with that.
I get the frustrations that everybody is venting on social media. I think, and when you watch the games, the performances haven't been there recently.
Nope.
Gee, what's your thoughts on it, mate?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Gary. It is a yes and a no kind of answer. Are we expecting too much? Problem is, we've been led down this road where we played so well, you know, in the first 90% of the season to get to this point. And, you know, only now we're, say 90%, it's 95% really. Now we're just getting the sort of letdown part in the last couple of games. This could happen at any point during the course of the season. But what we've got to remember, you know, as George has said to us, you know, the world isn't falling in. We've had a bad week, and we've got an opportunity to A, put it right. And we've also got an opportunity to learn, especially now we're going to have a pressure game against Philadelphia. Again, against the Bucks on Sunday, and potentially, you know, a game seven situations in the play-in where, you know, everybody can learn from it. We just hope that we're, you know, on the right side of the result when it comes to it. So it's a difficult one. Maybe we've just got carried away a little bit. Are we were we the third best team in the Eastern Conference last week? Probably not. You know, teams have had injuries. We just maybe played above our level, and now we're just sort of seeing it level out a little bit. And maybe where we're supposed to be. And it's just unfortunate it's happened like this instead of surging from 10th to 9th to 8th, you know, at the back end of the season, yeah, instead of dropping, where we'd be a bit more confident then, wouldn't we?
Yeah, that's a fair point, G. That's a very fair point. I mean, I think the nightmare scenario, the one I can't, please don't let it happen.
Don't say
it. Is Miami in the 7-8 playing game. We lose to them and then hit the winner of the 9-10 game. Find it's Atlanta and Jonte Murray does us again in the final second. That's the absolute nightmare.
On the flip side of that, how nice would it be to beat the Miami Heat in the playing game?
Oh, it'd be amazing.
I speaking to Mikey earlier, and he said, I don't want to play the Heat. And I said, part of me does, just because it's that scalp. You know, you beat the Lakers, you like it. Then you beat the Heat, you beat the Celtics. It's those games you live for. So, you know, just hope that the players are, you know, motivated, ready, and bring their A game in that particular situation.
Here's another nightmare scenario. I know we're talking about the Atlanta Hawks, but the flip of it would be there's obviously some salty Bulls fans about the trade and the Wagner thing, etc.
Yeah,
I think that would arguably be worse because there's not really a thing with the Hawks for me.
Mate, just for me, the fact that he's done us time this season.
We don't match up well with them.
No, and I just don't fancy that matchup on that game.
And you know the Bulls games. You know we obviously beat them on last Sunday. Was it by 15? But the three games prior to that, one went to overtime,
and absolutely,
the others were decided. You know, by less than 5 points, if I'm not mistaken. And I was at that overtime game, and it was very intense.
Yeah, none of them. I don't think there's a gimme in. No. In any scenario in the playoffs or the play-in tournament. I don't think there's a gimme. But, G, I want to ask you something here, mate. And everybody knows I'm not a man for what-ifs and coulders and shudders and wudders, the armchair coach type stuff. It does me. However, as fans, it forms what we talk about.
Yeah.
Day in, day out. And with some of the recent lack of focus, shall we call it, lapses and the poor results, where others have found a way to win, we haven't. Do you think that is somewhat, can that be somewhat attributed to the makeup of the squad and the lack of veterans and not having done anything last off-season other than getting Joe Ingles and re-signing a couple of players? Or not doing anything at the trade deadline, do you think it can be attributed to the makeup of this squad at this moment?
It can be, yes. Yeah. Again, this is a bit of another yes and no.
I agree.
You know, bringing in Ingles, then you've got other players, you know, with some experience. I know Isaac and Fultz have been involved in sort of the playoff series with the Toronto Raptors, if I'm not mistaken. It's a learning curve for everybody, isn't it? Would we have got a couple of extra wins in the last couple of games with veterans? Perhaps. It's a difficult one to say. Would they be better players than what we've got? So it swings and roundabouts, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you need to look to the coaching staff who should, you know, bring the leadership and the, you know, the veteran kind of presence as well at the same time to get the guys ready. But there's no, you can't teach experience, can you? It's just going through the motions and getting to that level. And unfortunately, it might just be, you know, the fact that we've got a young team, it is what it is, but the fact, are we the second or the third youngest team in the league? And, you know, we're putting up the numbers and the wins that we have. And you look where we are in the standings. Last week, we had the opportunity, flirting with the second seed in the East. You bring a couple of veterans in next season, address some of the needs. We're working out what we need, aren't we? So it's a yes and no. How about you, mate?
Mate, for me, I think it's... I've not seen us as being a second or third seed. I think we have... I'm not going to say given false hope, but we've played beyond what any of us expected. But once we got there, we were loving it, understandably. We wanted that to continue. And I think Gary's point about not surging at the end of the season, but as we're dropping back slightly, is very valid. I think that's certainly affected how we're viewing what we've done this season. But one of the positives for me is that we've actually finally allowed the squad that we've got to play. We've seen what we have. These last few games have perhaps exposed the weaknesses that we knew we'd got, but have just confirmed those weaknesses, which we're probably going to get exposed by a more experienced team come the postseason anyway.
Yeah.
But we have confirmed those limitations, but we have finally got to see those players. And I think it just shows that we as fans all have a sentimentality for certain players. You know, you are Team Markel, G. Gary and I, Team Cole. Mikey is a Wendell guy. But that sentimentality that we have, we'll have to go out of that, out of the window this summer, because we need to make some changes so as we can take that next step forward. Because if we are in that same, if we're only a playing team next summer, by this point next year, I'll be very disappointed. I'm not disappointed if we are this season. I don't like the way it's happened that we've slipped down, but I won't be disappointed because the season's been overall a huge, huge success. And we have to remember that none of us expected to see this amount of wins. I know there's odd one or two fans who saying that they did, and who am I to say that they didn't? They probably did. I personally didn't. I expected us to be in that low 40s figure, like we've all said. So to be where we are is a huge increase. And to be talking about Coach Mosley as, you know, as people have been doing, as he should be in consideration for Coach of the Year, it shows where we have actually moved up. We've seen a more competitive edge for the team. We've seen increased wins. So it's got to be a positive. It's just not feeling that way at the moment because of that slippage.
Yeah.
Gary, any other thoughts, mate, on that?
I don't think we're going to do a huge overhaul of the team in the summer unless a trade presents itself where it's multiple players. But kind of jumping on what's already been said, I think through this bit here, this season, I think the whole season, the fact we didn't make a move at the trade deadline, it's been a sort of who have we got when everybody's fit.
Mm.
Like, look at the team for the season. Who have we got? What have we got? Where are the holes? What are we good at, etc.? I do think, without digging players out, that some players are going to probably find that they may not be here for the process, using that word. So as it goes through, I think we're probably seeing now where the weaknesses are. And the players who aren't going to be, I'm not going to dig them out, but there are players now where you go, I don't think this is going to work. I have said on the pod before that we cannot carry the amount of injury-prone players that we have on the weight of contract that some of them have. You know, we've got about four players who are persistent injuries. And yeah, you gamble on them, you roll the dice on these players when you're in a rebuild. I don't think all of them will make it through. And I think if we're looking at this glaring, we need a veteran, then that's something we'll probably look to address in the summer. There are people still strongly linking us with Clay Thompson. And I know it's dependent on what the size of the contract and the length of the contract are. I don't think we're a team who's going to get mugged off by contracts anymore. like in the past, but I think his value to Orlando has increased significantly in this last few games, where somebody who's been there, done it, won it all, can defend, can hit a three. And I'm not saying he's old Clay Thompson from 4 years ago or anything like that, but it would have been nice to have him on the perimeter, knowing that he can knock that shot down. And we've all seen the image of Paolo against Houston driving into the paint, and there's like four Houston Rocket players with a fifth one coming in a shot. And this is the problem. It's the problem that's been there the whole time. Paolo's going to get mugged in that middle of the paint over and over and over again until we've got people who are respected on the perimeter that he can use his passing ability to find. For whatever reason this season, Franz Wagner's three-point game's dropped off the arc. We don't know what that is. We don't know what's happened. But if you've got Franz hitting 36, 37%, if you've got Jalen up at around 40%, there's two. But we need somebody there where you go, okay, do that. You can do that, but there's two options out there who are going to hit around about 40% from three, and you're going to die by that if you do it. And Paolo's assist numbers would probably go through the roof. But yeah, we've seen this jacking threes approach, and we can't do it. We just do not have the personnel to do that, and it's dictating everything we do. It dictates the lineups that are on the floor. It dictates runs, but we need someone who can score alongside Paolo, because he's going to get mugged over and over again. And I will go back to, I don't think it's a veteran thing, but in that game, and I said it before the game, and I am going to die on this hill, Goga should have started that game for the Magic. 100%, because they were undersized. The one thing we had over them was they were missing a starting center. They had Jabari Smith there. We should have said, right, okay, you've got your perimeter guys, but if we put that ball in the middle or you try to come in the paint, you aren't going to get them points from out there. So you can forget about the paint. If you're going to beat us, you beat us from the outside, and then you deal with Van Vliet. But you get nothing on the inside, and we had the personnel to do it, and we didn't. And that was my way I would have approached the Rockets game, and it's not genius in hindsight at all, because it was something I was saying amongst us pre-game, we should start Goga. And I think he deserves some minutes, because you've got to operate a meritocracy. You've got to do it. And I really hope Wendell plays the game against Joel Embiid that he's played before. Because if we ever need Wendell to play that game, we need Wendell to play that game this week.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Right. It's,
Squeaky bun time, as they say.
It is. It's, good to have competitive basketball. I would have settled for knowing that the competitive basketball was just for higher seeding as opposed to keeping ourselves out of the play-in. But hopefully, we aren't going to be talking about that any time soon.
Beyond that. I haven't seen any comedy names in the lottery this year or in the draft. Well, I had a quick scan through it.
I've not even thought about it. That shows how confident I was that we weren't involved. But there we go. Now, we're going to do this very, very quickly. We know that as we record this, we have two games remaining. We're recording this on the Thursday, 11th of April. But we're going to do this now, because come our next episode, we're hoping that we're going to be talking about something very different. So quickly, regular season awards. I don't think there's going to be a huge amount of variation between us, but we'll start with George's favourite first. Gary, what's your vote for MVP?
Well, I've got to be honest, I'm really glad that I'm somebody's favourite, and it might as well be George, because I can tell you now that's a party of one. So I would say, you can only really say Paolo Banchero.
I think it's nods all around there.
Yeah, Banchero. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. G, defensive player.
Defensive player, yeah. It can only, well, You say it could only be one.
I know.
It could potentially be two, but one of them hasn't played enough games for me, so I'm going Jalen Suggs.
I am also.
Make it three.
But I do think that JR's impact on the defensive end has been
absolutely
enormous. And you look at some of the things that they just don't show up, as people are just passing the ball rather than tackling him. So, George's favourite again, most improved player.
Two names on the list. One of them's Mo Wagner.
Yeah, good shot.
I think's been superb off the bench for us this season. He's found a niche. He's given us valuable score, and he's given us everything Mo Wagner gives us that we've talked about before. But the other one, who I'm probably leaning towards, is Jalen Suggs. He's got himself into the reckoning where he could be on an NBA All Defensive First Team. You never know. He's the one part of his game that he needed to really elevate is his 3-point shot. He's been the player who's looked bothered. He's displayed leadership characteristics. He's been massive for us this season. Am I saying in the whole league would he win the most improved player? No, but by virtue of what he's done, he's probably somebody who's on a top 10 list. So Jalen Suggs.
Gee.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I've written some stats down. You know, he's improved his 3-point field goal percentage. First season, 21%. Second, 32%. Third, 40%. Field goal percent of 36 to 42 to 47. His turnovers are down from his first season. He's improved. He's a leader. He's, you know, he's that perimeter defender you want out there, causing aggravation to their best perimeter. And he did that, you know, against Jalen Green and the Rockets. Unfortunately, we didn't have two Jalen Suggs on the floor. We might have won the game.
I think when I originally wrote it, this about the doing these awards, I was kind of edging towards Mo Wagner. Okay. And then you think, I can't. Jalen has just done everything this year, and he's done it better than he's ever done it before. And the thing that we love Mo Wagner for, that chippiness of getting under people's skin, of motivating the crowd, Jalen's running with as well. So it's got to be Jalen for me as well. Perhaps we might see a different name from Jalen on this one, although he's going to be in the reckoning. The heart and hustle, the dog of the team. So who are you going for, G?
I got Jalen Suggs.
Again, you can't
knock the guy. You know, he is 110% every night. He goes a million miles an hour. He gives up his body. He's on the floor. It's Jalen Suggs for me, and I don't think anyone's for me. I don't think anyone's close to Jalen.
Nope.
Again, when I first wrote it, oh, Wagner might be this man because he's. It was, I think it was Deb who described him as his minutes as 15 minutes of FU when he comes on the court. Brilliant description, because I can't think of anything better to sum him up. And the number of times that he's come onto the court and given us that lift where we've been struggling, he's been the catalyst to getting us back into a game. I'm actually putting him closer to Jalen than perhaps...
Yeah, I can see that.
But God, how do you argue against what Jalen Suggs has done night in, night out for the team? So I'm thinking that we might see a different name on this one, though. And this is the final one. Most underrated or undervalued member of the squad. So, Gary, go for it, man.
Borga Batanzi.
I got the same word.
Goga. When he's been called upon, he's been excellent. He was massive in the run we had earlier in the season. He warrants minutes for us now, and he should be getting more than he's getting based on merit.
Yeah. G, you say you've gone the same?
Yeah, Goga, definitely. You know, he's always ready. He performs. You know, his numbers aren't massive, but 5 points, five rebounds, shooting 60%. And we always talk about him, you know, situationally, like Gary has for, you know, the Rockets game. Especially if you're playing, you know, your traditional, almost European center, you know, your Valanciunases, people like that. I'm just trying to think of the guy on the Raptors. What's he called? Jakub Pertl.
Yeah,
he does well against those type of players, and it's a situational thing. But when he comes in, he sets screens, he rebounds, he you know, he gets what he can get. So I think he's absolutely underrated and undervalued, and someone we should be using a bit more.
Is there anybody else you actually consider? Mate, I'd considered Mo Wagner. I'd considered Joe Ingles. I'd considered
Isaac.
That's where I was actually going.
I had
say.
Isaac
I'd,
too.
I'd considered him in there. And I'd also got Goga. I am going to go with... Yeah, I'm going to go with Jonathan Isaac.
Yeah.
Because of the...
What he brings, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. He's undervalued by ourselves as a fan base because of his absence, and we forget what he can actually bring to the team when he's on the court. And he's underrated by the wider NBA fandom, because they just don't see it. If you don't watch his night in, night out, and all you do is look at the box score, you don't necessarily see him. So I'm going to go with J.I.
Yeah. They just need to listen to Jeff Turner, don't they? Don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't do it. There's a new shirt on our team in the store. That's the product of the month is a Minister of Defence J.I. Don't do it shirt.
Nice.
So, yeah. Okay, I think that will do it, boys. To everybody, thank you for watching, listening. And before we go, as always, big shout out to our patrons for the support that they show. Incredible support from Barry Conn, Paolo Franz Warmth, Ollie Law, Gary Clark, Angus Craig, Dylan Holden, Alan Kane, Tom Soane, Mark Joss, Sean Moore, Liam Radbourne, Andy Linley, Stuart Benzies, drum, and the Podfather, Phil, loves Hazy Northwestern. And I think it's Ollie and Sean and JC who are headed out very, very shortly to the States to sample the atmosphere that will be in Orlando for play-in or postseason, whichever it may be. Have an amazing time, guys. We are extremely jealous. If you are interested in joining the Patreon, we do have three tiers available, varying benefits. Visit patreon.com/ Let's Talk Magic to join today. We are recording our next episode straight after the regular season closes. We also have somebody we're very excited to be joining as a Magic fan. Someone who will be a familiar presence to you all at home and on the road. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give it a thumbs up. Leave us your thoughts and questions. Don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel. We really do appreciate that particular action. It helps us no end. You can also like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and X. All are at _ Let's Talk Magic. So from Grant, Gary, and myself, until next time, go Magic.